Okay. Turn in your hymnals today. You notice there is no sermon title because I didn't have it yet. If you want to put the sermon title down, it's called Just That Simple. Turn to chapter 8 of Mark. Mark chapter 8. And I'm only reading one verse for now. Mark chapter 8. Sermon title is called Just That Simple. I should have known this, but I too have to wait until it is my turn. Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read one verse just for this moment. I just want to set a tone. And that verse is verse 29. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Christ. Stop. Let us pray. Father, set our hearts together, set our labors aside, wake us up, prepare us, Father. Let the words be dwelling within us, that when they come back to you, you see the fullness of them. Not my words, your Father, you give the thoughts, you direct, you shape, you guide this sermon. In Jesus' name, we all said, Amen. First of all, today, everyone in here who is a grandparent in some form or another, raise your hands. That should be all of you. Because if you're past the age of 50, you're already old enough that you are shaping someone's life, maybe as a grandparent. You are the first line. You understand? You are the teachers. And you are the simplest. Let me show you how. Those are pretty, aren't they? I'm not going to do anything to it. I'm just going to move them right over here because I need this table. I want to show you something that I think is so simple. Maybe you'll agree. Maybe you won't. What do I have in my bag of tricks today? The plate. Notice there's nothing here, nothing here, nothing here. What else do I have in my... How'd that get in there? A knife. What can you do with a plate and a knife? You can make a lot of people cringe when you go... See, I couldn't resist that. Oh, crackers. I have a plate, I have a knife, I have crackers. And now we shall take the package, and we shall open it just so. And we want to make sure we choose two of the finer crackers. And we'll just put these over here for now. And then we open the peanut butter and let it breathe.
Close the lid.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Take the knife in your right hand, or your left if you're left-handed. Dollop out just a little bit of peanut butter. And spread ever so gently. Make sure you cover all four corners of the cracker. And then place the cracker ever so gently on top of the other one. If I eat that, I won't be able to talk. And there,
You have something that is just that simple. The peanut butter cracker. My grandmother, until she passed away, lived in the house below me when I was growing up. In order to get to the bus stop in the morning, you had to walk down the driveway, past their house, down past my aunt's house, down to the road where I would meet up with my cousins, and we'd get on a school bus. We'd go to school. They would try to teach us something. I wouldn't always listen. That's a whole other sermon. And after school, we had to walk back up the driveway, back up past my aunt's house, through the bushes past my grandmother's house, and back up the driveway home. Elementary school. We always, always, always stopped at Nanny's house. Because we had to see what Nanny had going on. And Nanny was there. And she was always doing something. And when her grandchildren came through that screen door, it didn't matter what happened, the world stopped. It came to a screeching halt. She could have been in the middle of brain surgery. And her grandchildren would have come in. And my grandmother, my nanny, would have said, "Hold on, sir, I'll get back to you." And she would have wanted to know about what her grandchildren's day at school was like. And there was always a treat. And more often than not, the simplest treat was peanut butter crackers made by my nanny. And we'd sit at the table and we'd have peanut butter crackers. And on occasion, if she was in the right mood, she would let us have a drink of her coffee. My grandmother drank coffee all the time. And she would let us have a little drink of her coffee with peanut butter crackers. Unfortunately, my nanny passed from this earth in 76 or 7, and my mother passed in 2006, or I'd bring my mother in to tell you what we were like when we got home after being at Nanny's house, after eating peanut butter crackers and drinking coffee. Oh, we were fun to be around. But she would sit in front of that, and she would make it a meal. She would pull out a sleeve of crackers and the peanut butter, and she would talk. And the minute that one disappeared, "Do you want another one?" "Yes, I do." And another one would appear. And sometimes three. Never more than three. Because she knew we had to go home and eat. And I think back every time I make peanut butter crackers to that simple, simple moment. Simple! It was just that simple. One of the greatest meals ever to shape my life was this simple, dumb, saltine peanut butter cracker. How many in this room eat peanut butter crackers? Boy, I bet I see every hand going up now. And why do you eat peanut butter crackers? Because they're good. You don't know why. You're standing in the pantry. You're looking in a pantry. Here's things like Spam. I love Spam. And potato chips and cans of food. And you look and you're like, "I'm hungry and I don't know what to eat." And then suddenly you see peanut butter and you see crackers. And you're like, "I want a peanut butter cracker." And you have a peanut butter cracker. And sometimes if you're a little smart aleck, you make a peanut butter cracker that's about that tall. And yet, I saw a program on the simple peanut butter cracker and how blatantly they wanted to mess it up. Oh, this guy put this peanut butter cracker on a plate and he drizzled it with cinnamon shavings and he put a little flour beside of it and another one slid a banana under it and this one had off to the side broken and shaved chocolate and they served it up with napkin and fork and everything. And I thought, "Are you kidding me? It's a peanut butter cracker. It is designed to do one thing, be eaten, and then make you go to the refrigerator looking for milk. That's its only job." Verse 29. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ." We kind of changed direction here a little bit today. It is Grandparents' Day. Everybody in this room was shaped by a grandparent. Everybody. Whether it was good or whether it was bad, you had a shaping come from your grandparents. It might have been for a couple of days. It might have been when you was really young. Some of your grandparents may have been alive well into your late years. But you had that shaping. And if we've learned one thing, if you had good, solid grandparents, you learned the simplest things. And the one lesson that my grandmother learned me, taught me, was how to keep my mouth shut. I still struggle with that lesson to this day. I wonder if that's why she fed us peanut butter crackers. Because you couldn't talk for a couple seconds, could you? I don't know a grandmother in this world that doesn't give out the peanut butter crackers. And that's a fair problem that plagues humanity, isn't it? Knowing when to keep your mouth shut. It's really just that simple. Flip over, if you will, to James chapter 3. These are old scripture verses. James chapter 3 to verse 12. James writing these words. Not many of you, first 12 verses, should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I am a living embodiment of that. People challenge me all the time, not just because I'm a Christian, but because I'm a preacher. Hey, what do you think of this? And I love it. Bring it to me. Don't be too wound up if I give you an answer you're not looking for, because I know what my thoughts are, and I'm going to tell you what I think. And if you do it to me before church, you'll likely get preached at twice, right, Matt? We had a good conversation today. He says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships, for example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. It's something for us to think about, how we can take something so simple and ruin it. Something so simple and ruin it. Because we just can't be quiet. Now, I'm the worst of it. I just don't know sometimes when to shut my mouth. I know you find that hard to believe, but it's the truth. A man was working in a produce department at a large grocery store, and a lady walked in and asked if she could buy just a half a head of lettuce. He said, half a head, are you serious? God grows these things in whole heads, and that's the way we sell them. We ain't going to sell no half a head of lettuce. And she said, you mean after all the years I've been shopping here, you couldn't bend the rules just once and sell me a half a head of lettuce? He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, let's go talk to the manager, and I'll find out. She said, thank you. She thought that would be appreciated. And so the young man marched down the front of the store, and he caught up with the manager. He goes, you ain't going to believe this. There's this woman back in the produce aisle. She must be a half-brained idiot who wants me to do the most stupidest thing in the world and sell her a half a head of lettuce. And he noticed that the manager was gesturing with his face behind him and trying to do things. And the boy turned around, and there behind him while he was going off stood the lady. She had followed him to the front of the store, and without missing a beat, he turned back to the manager and said, and this nice lady would like to know if she could buy the other half. Later on that day, the manager turned to the young man and said, that was the finest example of thinking on your feet I have ever seen in my life. He said, where did you learn that? And the boy looked at him and said, well, I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And if you know anything about Grand Rapids, you know that they have the greatest hockey teams in the world and the ugliest women you have ever seen in your life. And the manager's face turned red and said, my wife is from Grand Rapids, And the boy said, "So which hockey team did you play for?" You see, it's just that simple. If we would just learn to keep our mouth shut when need be, it would be just that simple. And yet we can't. Just like the peanut butter cracker, we let ourselves get too brought up in the sound of our own voice. We get too wound up in shooting off. It's the simplest thing that lets our tongues get into trouble. Even when we know we are right. We know we're right, and it turns out wrong. I've had these discussions with my wife that I'm right. That I know I'm right. I know this because I know everything. And she comes up behind me with a book and says, "Well, you're wrong." And I have to look at her and say, if they would have consulted me first, they'd have written that book right. Let's go back to the scripture for a minute. Back over to Mark. Let's talk about this scripture and back up a little bit. Go back to verse 27. Jesus and all his disciples went on to the villages all around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and he be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." We read that set of scriptures, and we forget that Jesus Christ is just this simple. Peter forgot. By now, he's been walking around with him. He's been seeing everything that he's done. What reason would you have to doubt? And so they ask him, he says, "Who am I?" What's Peter say to him? What's everybody say? "Well, some people say you're this, and some people say you're that. Who do you, my disciples, say I am?" "You're the Christ." And then when he begins to tell them, what's next? Perhaps it's a little too fantastic. Perhaps it's a little too much to believe. Perhaps it's shaking their confidence. Perhaps it's taken them away from what they know to be real, as they have been Jewish people. And so Peter, who must be, "I can't wait to meet him. I am serious. I will tell you that all the time. My name is Paul, biblical name. My name should have been Peter." Why? Because in the words of Andy Griffith, every now and then I manage to get that whole foot inside my mouth. I love Peter. He's got a big mouth, a hot temper. He's full of passion, and he is not someone you want to cross when he's on fire with the Lord. But I can't wait to get up there and just have a moment with him and go, "How dumb did you feel when you started to challenge the Lord and he called you Satan?" I'm going to ask him it just like that. And I'm probably going to hear the same words, "Get behind me, Satan." What? We are Christians. We've not seen Jesus. We've not been there to see those miracles firsthand. We didn't see him spit into mud and rub it on a man's eyes and a man see. We didn't see him touch ears and hearing come out. We didn't see everything. We are Christians by our faith for something we haven't seen yet. That makes us pretty tough, don't you think? Go ahead, everybody. Go like this. Because you're pretty tough. You're a Christian because you didn't see those things. You didn't see him walk out of that tomb. You know he did because you know the truth. You know he did because it's written in his word. You know he did because it happened. Just like turning on a light switch. When the lights come on, it happened. You don't question those things. You know it. And it's simple, isn't it? It's just that simple. And what do? With it? We mess it up. When somebody comes to us sometimes and asks us about being a Christian or puts us in a hard question, here's the question I get asked a lot. He said, "Paul, do you believe everybody's going to heaven?" I get asked that question. How would you like to be asked that question? Somebody walk right up to you in your face and go, "You're a Christian, right?" "Yes." So anybody that does not believe in Jesus Christ is not going to heaven. That's what you're saying, right? They're not going anywhere when they die. I look them right in the face and go, "That's what I believe. Because the Bible says, only through Jesus will one come to the Father." "Well, how can you be like that?" "Well, it's what the Bible says." Or I could sit there and say, "Well, you know, this is a statement I hear a lot when I'm in preacher class. Well, you know, there are different ways that people are going to come to the Lord." No, they're not. They're going to come through Jesus Christ or you're not coming in. Say amen if you believe it.
Amen.
See, and that's where we lose sight of things. That's where we take something so simple and we mess it up. The simple answer is, yes, that's what I believe. Period. Is there anything that can change your mind on that? No. Why? Bible says so. Jesus Christ himself said it. No one comes to the Father except through who?
Me.
Now, there may be different ways to pronounce the name of Jesus. I don't know a lot of languages. I know three languages. I know a hair bit of German. I know just a smattering of Amish. And I know the most universal language of all, mad wife. I know that language. I know what that sound means. And I got re-educated in it this past weekend until that doctor got to her too. And I know that there are different ways to pronounce the name of Jesus, but he is still Jesus. And when somebody says people may come to know Jesus differently, they may know him in Jawara, which is a language I ain't even going to attempt. What do they call him in Jawara?
Sesoi.
What's that again?
Sesoi.
All right, I believe you. What's French for Jesus, hon? Okay, see, she knows French, and that's a true story. Does anybody else know any other language?
Spanish is Jesus.
Spanish is Jesus. So you understand where I'm coming from? I don't disagree with that. They may come to Jesus through a different way, but they'll still know him the same name. It's still just that simple. We don't need to make a mess of it. When somebody challenges us on something, we need to keep our mouth shut and just say yes. Peter should have kept his mouth shut. Thankfully, he didn't, because we were given a great lesson from that. To remind us, Jesus is the Christ. He is the salvation. He is the only way we're getting out of here. He is the only way that we can survive through things like John sang about. Through the storm, through the time, through the trouble. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. I know I can't. I know how strong I am. And I got another demonstration of it this past weekend. These guys were working on a piece of equipment out on the job, and they couldn't get the piece to break open. And everybody was grunting and pulling and carrying on it. And I walked up and said, "What's the problem?" They said, "We're going to get a bigger wrench. This nut won't come loose." And I said, "Let me try." And I turned it open. I said, "There you go." And five men backed away from me. And one said, "Don't you ever get mad at me. I know how strong I am. And I know how weak he made me. He made me so weak that the only way is to trust in him, to pronounce his name, to say who he is, and say it in front of everybody. And don't question my Savior." Back to the scripture again. 33rd verse. "But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. 'Get behind me, Satan,' he said." Now pay attention here. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Brothers and sisters, when we take something that simple and we try to do to it things that are not supposed to happen, we leave the mind of God behind. We leave the presence of Jesus behind. We leave behind the simplest teachings. You want to know how simple it is? Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Say it, little ones. Yes, Jesus loves me. It's just that simple. And on Grandparents' Day, I'm reminded of how simple lessons are. For a period of time, I grew up on the Butts farm, and I ran around learning from Pat. And some of the things he taught me were so simple. Did I listen? Well, not always. That's not in my nature to do. I'm hard-headed like that. I'm Peter. But I had my grandparents. You had your grandparents. You had the shaping. And our job is to shape a Christian foundation for all of us around them. All the people around them. And make it just that simple. As the old peanut butter cracker that my grandmother, my nanny, would slide across the table to me when I came home from a hard day at elementary school. And as she sat and listened, I encourage you all this week to remember the old peanut butter cracker. How it's just that simple. How what Jesus offered you is just that simple. And sits beside you, ready to listen. Ready to pick you up. Ready to take you forward. And all we need to do is let Him do it. In Jesus' name, He loves me. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for the teachings that come from the most simple places. We thank You, Father, that You don't forget about us. That even when we're mouthing off, even when we're stepping away from what You would have, which is for us to speak plainly of the truth, You are strong enough to correct us. Pray that we listen. Pray that we remember that our tongue gets us in trouble, but how good is the tongue when it is used to talk about Your Son and that saving grace in its most simplest form. Your Son came to earth, walked among us, died on a cross, rose up from death 3 days later, and taught us to believe in Him, that we should spend eternity with Him. Father, remind us of something that is just that simple. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. Amen. If you have a particular need, if you need something somewheres along the way, the prayer bench is open. I'm here to pray with you. You can come up here and leave it. If you need to know Jesus a little closer, here's the time. Thank you, brothers and sisters.